Hello, Gospel for Grampian listeners. Welcome to Work on Air. It is the 28th of September, episode 68. And today on air, we've got our beautiful air crew, Erica and Shanaz. How are you today, beautiful ladies?
Good day, Gospel for Grampian listeners. Good day to our beautiful Angelina and Erica. I am so blessed and excited to be here this evening. Just to share the word of God with our listeners today.
Yes, we are so blessed. Gospel for Grampian listeners, beautiful Angelina and Shanaz. I am so fired up because we had such a good time before we started, and the presence of Holy Spirit is just so tangible, and I'm just waiting for Him to minister to each one of us and our beautiful listeners. Thank you, Angelina.
Yes, we just thank the Lord for the precious Holy Spirit, and to have that kind of environment is so amazing, because we are charged up, energized, empowered, and powerful. I was thinking about the one day when my husband was praying in the spirit. He said to me, the way I feel now, my hands can go and crush iron. That's how energized and charged up I am. We're very excited that we have the Spirit of the Lord, who is omnipotent, all-powerful, and omniscience, all-knowing. So we rely on the presence of the Lord to help us to be able to succeed in this very, very dark dispensation that we're at. Today, what we are going to be talking about is a very, very special topic, Gospel for Grampian listeners, and it is fallen from grace and the need to get back up. So women listeners and young girls, this message today from Erica, Shanaz and myself is for you. How many times women fall and young girls fall and they remain at the bottom because they don't know how to get back up? And today we are saying to you that if you have fallen from grace, you must get back up. It is not an option. If you don't get back up, then your destiny is heading for hell. I want to talk about the book of Revelations, and I'm going to start with the end before we can start with the beginning. In the book of Revelations, John has the experience of encountering heaven and Jesus. He was at the island of Patmos, and God gave him an experience, and God said to him, "This is the future of the people of the earth. And so I need you to write it down and tell them what the future looks like." So I'm going to speak about Revelations 22, which is the epilogue, the end of what is to come. And Jesus is speaking there, and he's saying, he's giving an invitation and a warning. And he's saying, look, women of Gospel for Grampian listeners, look, young girls of Gospel for Grampian listeners, I am coming soon, and my reward is with me. And I will give to each person according to what they have done. I am the Alpha and I am the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And then he says, blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. And then he says, outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of the scroll. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to that person the plagues described in the scroll. And if anyone takes words away from the scroll of prophecy, God will take away from that person any share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in the scroll. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. Now, this gospel for Grampian listeners is a message from Jesus to all of humanity on earth. This is the end of how life is going to be for people. And if we fall from grace and we don't pick up, then outside we are. There's no room for us to stay down. What are your thoughts of that, Shanaz and Erica?
Thank you, beautiful Angelina. I think this book really describes the events, and we know that revelation means it's an unveiling or disclosure. So it tells us of future events, such as the rapture. It's speaking to us about the Antichrist, and it's also telling us about the coming of the second coming of Jesus with his saints to the earth, the judgment of Satan and his followers, and finally the eternal state. So it tells us that we have to be ready, that we should live a life that is pure, surrendered unto Jesus, that we should every day surrender unto him, because we don't know the time that he will come back. We know that Jesus is coming. And so, yeah, we have to be persistent in loving our life that is pleasing unto Abba Father, that we should refrain from sin, that we should separate ourselves from sin so that we are one with Abba Father. And I think this is so vital for us as Christians, that we need to submit unto the Lord through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will keep us conscious of our way of life, conscious of where we're loving, how we're loving, conscious of the Word of God and what is required for us in terms of seeing Jesus coming again, being part of that glorious time when he comes back, so that we will not be forsaken or pushed aside and say that he does not know us. So the Holy Spirit during this time will give us revelation through the Word of God, teach us how to love, so that we can experience his marvelous return.
Thank you, Erica.
Yes, Revelations is always a book that I was always drawn to. Revelations is actually a beautiful book. It talks about Jesus Christ. It talks about his victory. It talks about his ways that brings all his children together to stand with him, to know that the enemy has been defeated. We know that the enemy will not be able to come close to us as we stand in the army that God has called us in to be his bride. Each and every one of us that is willing to submit ourselves completely and totally to him, to truly lay prostrate before him, we will ride on horses together with Christ, and we will be in the winning, in the victorious army with Christ. Thank you very much, Angelina.
Thank you, Erica and Shanaz. You know, when I'm thinking about the book of Revelations, I then realize Matthew 6:33 is so relevant. What are your thoughts on that, Shanaz?
That it's about my relationship with Abba Father, that it's not me pursuing worldly wealth, but it's seeking his kingdom. And what does it mean? It means a submission unto to the Spirit of the loving God, a submission unto his word, a submission unto his way, a submission totally surrendered, nothing of myself, speaking about dying to self, so that Christ can be glorified in my life, speaking to me about his righteousness. So in other words, knowing that when I'm in relationship with Abba Father, I become righteous. And because I am pursuing and seeking his way, then all these things will be added unto you, meaning that he blesses you with whatever you require whilst we're still on this earth. We don't have to first pursue worldly wealth, but it's pursuing right standing in His kingdom, seeking God, putting Him first in everything that I do. He becomes the very breath of my life, that without Him I am nothing. Acknowledging Him in all my ways, in everything that I do, that I constantly see Him, that I make time to study His Word, that I make time to spend time with Him in prayer, setting aside everything, my family, my hobbies, but seeking Abba Father, making time for Him. And when He wakes me up in the morning hours, that I should be obedient and heed unto to the Spirit of the Lord, and be a watchman in prayer for Him. That is what the scripture means to me, and I hope that the listeners will truly seek the Lord first, so that He can be glorified in all that they do. And when we do that, it says that all these things shall be added to you. And I think even 34 says, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things, sufficient for the day in its own trouble. And I think it's so relevant for us this time and this day, because there's so much happening in the world and people are bombarded with worry. But the Word of God tells us not to worry. Why? Because when we seek Him first, that He will then bless us with whatever we need, nourishment, sustenance on this earth. So our relationship with Abba Father needs to be priority. Thank you, Angelina.
I love what you're saying, Shanaz. And you know, if we go straight into the book of Revelations and we miss Matthew 6:33, we might think Revelations is too difficult to achieve. We might think that God in Revelations 22, Jesus is being a bit too strong on us because it's impossible. But Jesus already told us before Revelations in the book of Matthew, hey, listen, it's a walk in the park to achieve what I'm telling you to achieve if you can adopt and believe Matthew 6:33. Because when you seek me, you're seeking my kingdom. That means joy, peace, and righteousness is inevitably what you're going to acquire. Therefore, like Shanaz says, the cares of this world will no longer ever affect you. And therefore, you get excited when you read Revelations, because you know your robe is washed by the blood of Jesus because you've been living in the kingdom. It is only people who fall from grace and don't know how to get up, looks at Revelations and becomes afraid. The only reason you become afraid of Revelations is when you yourself don't feel you are ready. What are your thoughts on that, Erica?
I just want to say that Shanaz really painted such a beautiful picture of Matthew 6:33. And what I can add to that, rather than being preoccupied with material things, as Shanaz said, our ambition should be to seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness, knowing that as we do so, He has pledged Himself with covenant faithfulness to respond. Then all these things shall be added to us. And His righteousness and His kingdom is being made tangible on this fallen earth of ours. And I just believe that when our beautiful Gospel for Grampian listeners will just be willing to totally surrender, and God will come and He will just immerse Himself into each one. And as you said, beautiful Angelina, it's with no effort that you can just rise up and live with Christ and in His faithfulness, live with freedom.
Yes. Now, why are we telling you this, Gospel for Grampian listeners? If you listen to our last week episode on the 21st, the statistics there was absolutely alarming. It was absolutely alarming to think that the parents, the older generation, are tolerating and celebrating sin, that the next generation don't know what righteousness is, don't know what morality is. Sin has become the new way of morality, where people think that living perverted and in a sinful way is acceptable. That means everybody who follows that pattern is going to go to hell. And for us, that really, really broke me. And I said to the Lord, Lord, how can we help women get back up after they fall from grace? And then the Lord gave me this unction that today with our air crew, we've got a shepherd in the house, Pastor Shanaz. We've got a prophet and a counselor in the house, Erica, who's also a pastor. And the Lord put in my heart today, Gospel for Grampian listeners, that we want to encourage you to get back up. If you have fallen from grace and you were one of those statistics that have become a poor leader for your children, a bad parent for your children because you tolerated and accepted sin because of your own hurting past. We want to tell you today there's hope for you to rise up and get restored to who God created you to be. Because when God restores you, He forgets your sin as far as the east is from the west. That your own children who once saw you as a ruthless, terrible sinner will begin to see you in the light of God. Because that is the God we know. He restores you that people forget your sin because He's forgotten it. They don't even remember any fragment of your sin. That is the God we serve. And so we are talking to you today, Gospel for Grampian listeners that have fallen from grace. This is what God says in the beginning of Revelations. So if you're a Christian and you are thinking, I've received Jesus once in my life, and so I'm saved and I'm going to go to heaven, even if I live and fall from grace and live a sinful way, I want to remind you today that besides God telling us at the end in the book of Revelations that sinners will not enter the kingdom of heaven, I want to get us back into the beginning of Revelations. Revelations 1, the word of God says, the revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw, that is the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take it to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. So today, Gospel for Grampian listeners, myself and Shanaz and Erica want to read aloud the words of this prophecy so that you can hear it and take it to heart, because the time is near. And if we do not tell you the word, we will be accountable in heaven for not giving you the word. We are on air the voice of truth. We will speak the truth of God's word because we care for you and love you and want to see you in eternity in heaven and not burning perpetually in the pit of fire. And as that, we have a mandate to tell you today the prophecies of Revelation. John writes to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is, who was, and who is to come. From the seven, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from sins by his blood, our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priest to serve his God and Father. Hear this, Gospel for Grampian listeners. Matthew 6:33, what Shanaz was speaking is exactly that. He made us to be a kingdom and priests. When we apply Matthew 6:33, we are a kingdom and priest to serve God and the Father. To him be glory and power forever and ever. When we adopt that mindset, then we become the faithful church. The writings of John, he speaks to the faithful church. He speaks to the lukewarm church. He speaks to the backsliding church. He speaks to the church that serves but lost their love for Christ. They just serve. Jesus says obedience is better than sacrifice. They're doing the sacrifices, but they have no obedience to God. He speaks about that, then goes to the end. And he says, if you are going to be any of this type of Christian and not the faithful, then you are going to be in trouble. And that is the reward for not obeying, not being a faithful church. So we want to help you today, our beautiful women and our beautiful sisters who are listening in. We understand we go through problems. There is hope for you. There is redemption for you. There is mercy for you. And so we're saying to you today, if you're one of the seven churches that are not faithful, you have hope today because there are a shepherd and a counselor on air that's going to help you today. Shanaz and Erica, what will you say to a young girl who has been living in a dysfunctional home? Her dad's an alcoholic. He beats the household. She's got parental rejection. It's leading her astray. Instead of focusing on school, she ends up seeking the attention of a male to replace the love in her home and the love of her father. She breaks her virtue and her virginity and her soul ties consumed by this relationship because she's seeking love. And at that young age, she wants to run away because she's soul tied to her lover. School has no future in her mind. The only thing she sees is, I want to end up with that guy. And he's going to look after me because I don't have love in my home. My parents are abusive and I trust this man and he's going to take care of me. So she's now replaced her whole life in the hands of a man that she believes she can trust and he's going to take care of her. What do you say to that young girl that has just lost her virginity outside marriage and is now only living for a man and has forgotten to live a virtuous life, forgotten the importance of family and a time and a season for everything in life? How do you get this girl to get back up and take back her positioning? Pastor Shanaz.
Thank you, beautiful Angelina. The song that comes to my mind is Psalm 139, because clearly this young woman has lost her identity. She doesn't know her self-worth, and therefore she's able to give herself to a man that's not worthy of her heart. And when she finds her self-identity in Christ Jesus, Psalm 139 always reminds me that God created me for good works, and therefore I would encourage this beautiful young lady to say that her life was orchestrated by Abba Father, and her identity in Christ Jesus is in the Psalm 139. It speaks about the love of God for her, for who she is, and how he's fashioned her, is fashioned in a way that is not conceived by a mom and dad by accident, but conceived by a heavenly Father that has predestined her life for good works, that he has blessed her life and is fashioned and written up her days of her life for good works, that everything that she will do within him will prosper, and that she should not be confused and allow the enemy to deceive her, thinking that she's good for nothing, that she's not able to accomplish anything, because the word of God says that he pre-designed, predestined her life, and he's fashioned and written up her days, and there's only good works that he has planned for her life. Proverbs 28 verse 13 also says, so to this young girl that's perhaps sitting with this trauma of she's sin now and she doesn't know how to move forward, but the word of God says that if she keeps on concealing her transgression, she will not prosper. But if she confesses it and forsakes it, she will obtain mercy, because we know that Jesus already done the work on the cross. So she doesn't have to do a physical work to obtain the mercy and the forgiveness of the Lord. All she has to do is to confess it and forsake it. And once she does that, she will obtain mercy. So it doesn't matter what she's done, what sinful state she's in. And in fact, any of us, and even when we do become born again as well, because we know that we constantly will contend with our previous sinful nature. And whether it's a white lie or what we term as a big sin, but sin is sin in God's eyes. And when we confess it, he will forgive us. He will receive us with open arms. He will embrace us. He will love us. And when we come back to Him, we can constantly go back into our true design for what He's created us for, good works, so that we can prosper in Him. So I would encourage the listeners not to conceal their sin, but rather confess it and forsake it, so that we can obtain mercy, as Proverbs 28 verse 13 says. Thank you, Angelina.
Thank you, beautiful Shanaz, for that encouragement to those young girls. Erica, they now at a position where they've listened to Shanaz and they've realized that it is not the time of love, because the Word of God says, don't open love before the time. So they come to you and they say, help us to get back to before we got in this mess, and pray for us to cut off the soul ties. Minister to those girls. Pray with them, please, and cut off those soul ties.
In everything, I truly believe that, yes, we do not cover our sin. We bring it before the Lord, and we just open up, and we just blurt it out, because that is when it has come into the light, and God's oxygen can absolutely bring healing into that total hurt that happened in that girl's life. One scripture that I can say to this girl, that in John 15 verse 16, that she is chosen. It says here, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And just because of that, it doesn't say I chose you because of you being so good or you doing that. I chose you, and therefore I brought you to this earth. And whatever has happened, I have chosen you, and you come to me. And as you have repented before me, the blood of my Son has cleansed you. And therefore I accept you, because in Romans 15 verse 7, it states, therefore, receive one another just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. You see, Christ has received us to the glory of God. And what happens in Galatians 4, 7, it then says, you are free. It speaks here, therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son or a daughter. And if a son or a daughter, then an heir of God through Christ. So God has chosen you, beautiful Gospel for Grampian listener. He has accepted you, and He has set you free. And this evening, I just want to say, Lord, each and every listener that had a broken heart, that went through so much trauma, that even went into rebellion because of so much disappointment, such hurt and pain, the abuse, the rejection, even abandonment. Lord, you have said, I have chosen you. I have accepted you. And in me, you are totally free from all the hurt and the pain and the rejection. Nothing that you have done can take my love away from you. I love you, says the Lord. And my love covers all sin because of my Son that paid the full and final price. So come to me, says the Lord, and know that I heal you, I make you whole, I deliver you from every kind of bondage that came upon you. And I am the one, says the Lord, that comes in between you and your pain and brings total acceptance and freedom. And therefore I sever every soul tie that was ever done between you and another person, in whichever way it happened, that soul tie I break in the name of Jesus Christ, and I set you free in the name of Jesus to be whole, to be delivered, and to receive Christ as your Savior, as your healer, as your deliverer, and that now you are clothed with Christ Jesus, the one who makes you free, the one who purifies you because of his precious blood that was shed on Calvary. In Jesus' name, I speak freedom over you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Erica. Thank you, Shana. So, young girl, if you are listening today, we have just put you back on track. Go to a Bible-based church. Get some Christians that are God-fearing around you. Grow in the Lord. This is your love time with God and not a guy. There'll be a time for you to develop a relationship with a man that God will bring into your life for marriage. But now it's you and God. Finish your education. Find out the purposes of God for your life in your singleness, so that when you do end up getting married, the man you marry will support your vision and you will support his vision, because you know who you are in God. I want to encourage young girls there. Do not open love before the time. Because when you do that and you haven't developed a relationship with the Lord, then the person you are having a relationship with, their vision becomes your vision. Instead of you identifying God's vision for your life. God has made us all unique, perfect, and beautiful. And he has a plan for each one of us. But when we don't in our singleness find that plan, and we prematurely begin to have relationships with people, then we go out of our plan to make their plan become our plan, and we lose our identity and purpose. So we encourage you, as beautiful Shanaz and Erica has brought you back on track, and we've made you stand up now through this encouragement, begin to run your race and build a relationship with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit by allowing the Holy Spirit to be your comforter and your best friend. And now, beautiful Shanaz and Erica, what will you say to a young woman who finished school, attained a good matric pass, her parents cannot afford to pay for her studies, her dreams of finishing matric with a distinction pass to pursue a legal career has now come to an abrupt stop because she's got the distinction pass, but she can't go further and study. She needs to work and study. And in South Africa, there's a high unemployment rate, and having no work experience and no tertiary education, she is left hopeless and helpless. Threatened by no purpose and vision for her life, she begins to hang out with those who are in similar position, aimlessly living from day to day. She finds friends in the low places she's at, and they form a circle of hanging around wrong crowds and places like clubs and pubs to gain acceptance. She knows enough of the Lord to keep God for Sunday church to appease her family. Her friends know her one way and her parents know her another way. She has a confused lifestyle, trying to please her family and pleasing the new lifestyle that she's living, because she's not working. She doesn't earn an income. She's stuck in an environment with people of similar mindset. So now, she ends up marrying a local club friend and she backslides. She begins to worship idols to gain acceptance. She's emotionally, mentally, and physically abused in this new relationship. She cannot go back home because her parents are going to tell her, "I told you so." She finally finds a job and she works a career, but she gets home and her husband abuses her. The only thing that's working for her now is she finds purpose in her career. So she's respected and accepted at work, but she's abused and rejected at home. She's got two little kids, and at work people admire her. And so she goes into adulterous relationships because she's accepted in her place of purpose. Her life is messed up because she's ashamed. She's abused. She's in disgrace. She has a family. She has a career. and she's committing adultery. And she's at a point of suicide because she said everything's falling apart. How would you encourage this woman to get back up after making these terrible mistakes? You have these kind of people out there. How would you encourage them, Erica?
Thank you, Angelina. Yes, it's really a very sad situation. I believe that the first thing that such a person should know is that the God of all love loves her so much that it does not matter what she has gone through, what she has done, because his love is unconditional. His love came to die for her. And for her to know how much God loves her is for me to show her that he loves her, is to truly walk a path with her, to be there for her, to encourage her on a daily basis, because now she needs to know that there is really true love, and it's not the love that she is used to. It's not the love the world gives. It's a love that is so unconditional that it brings total acceptance to her, because now she walks in shame and she walks maybe in complete rejection, so much abuse and so much hurt and pain, and in as if her identity is split in two, because at home she's a different person, at work she's another person. And to know that in everything that she is still loved, to lead her back to the one who is love, to truly allow her to experience that love that is being showered upon her.
Shana,
I want to just minister to this beautiful woman. It says in Psalm 32 verse 1 that she needs to see the truth about her sin. And it says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. And beautiful Erica said that she is loved by God. She must know that even though she has sinned and there's so much shame and guilt, that her transgression is already forgiven. Her sin is already covered. It was covered on the cross of Calvary. Jesus already died for her, so that she does not have to walk with this guilt and the shame. Remember, when sin comes, the sin wants to cause death in our physical lives. And how does it do that? It separates us and it isolates us. It causes us to be singled out, feel humiliated. But here we see the word of God. It says that you are loved, that your sin is forgiven, your sin is already covered. So that's the truth about your sin. Then seek God's presence. Psalm 32 verse 7 says, you are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. So knowing that I can go to God, irrespective of the turmoil I'm in now, make him your hiding place. And how will this help you? It will help you from deliverance of deception. Because when I'm satisfied in his presence, sin loses its allure. So in other words, I'm not going to go back into that vicious cycle and doing the same mistakes again and constantly going through the same stuff over and over again. Because I'm making Abba Father my secret place. And then thirdly, see the truth about your identity. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, Satan kept on saying to him, Jesus, if you are the Son of God. So temptation is not the challenge of your willpower. It is the challenge of your identity. The truth of your identity is in God's word. It is in seeking him. It is constantly being in relationship with him, where you can find your true identity in Christ. And then the vicious cycle will come to an end. And I want to encourage you, that shame, that humiliation that you're feeling, know that that is the tactics of the enemy who wants to keep you in that vicious cycle. Your sin is already covered. You need not be ashamed. You can confess your sin to God, and once you confess it and you've asked for forgiveness, forgive yourself. And knowing that you can now walk in relationship with Him, that you can find your identity in Christ Jesus through the Word, through the Holy Spirit that can lead and show you. And remember, you are not the only one that have sinned. We have all sinned. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. But we are justified by His grace. That is what Romans 3 tells us. And so it's a gift through redemption in Christ Jesus. Jesus paid the debt. And you don't have to be shameful. You don't have to be feeling guilty all the time, or the pain, or the disgrace, because the Lord loves you, as beautiful Erica says. It's all about the love of God. He loves you with an everlasting love, and He can cause your life to flourish when you submit unto Him. I pray that the Lord will give you the courage to confess your sin, and the courage to seek His Word, to seek a relationship with Him, to make Him priority, as Matthew said, as we read earlier in Matthew chapter 6, verse 32, that you will seek the Lord, that you will make Him the priority in your life, and that you will trust Him. And irrespective of where you're at, know that Abba Father's there to help you. He loves you, and He wants to bring peace into your heart, into your mind. He wants to restore your identity in Christ Jesus. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Thank you, beautiful Angelina.
I love what Shanaz and Erica are saying. It's, if you understand the love language of the Father, then it's easy to let go of that sinful way of living, because God's love leads us into right living. It leads us into wanting to do what's right. You know, I think about myself, Erica and Shanaz, when I had that messed up life, how I dealt with the shame and the disgrace, because the devil put a lot of, you know, accusations of what a shamed, disgraced person I am because of the messed up life that I had. The Holy Spirit helped me. The first thing I did was I asked the Lord to forgive me. I forgave myself. I then went to my ex-husband and I said, please forgive me. I did this and it's wrong. He didn't even know, Shanaz, that I did something wrong. I went and I told him, please forgive me, because the devil kept on making me say, you're a deceptive, lying, whatever, whatever. I literally said, I'm going to be delivered by telling the people that I hurt, even though they didn't know it, that this is what I did. I literally went and I said to that person, I am sorry I hurt you. I then went to my parents and I said, Mom and Dad, this is what I did. I didn't want the devil to accused me the whole time, because I knew something about what I did wrong and others didn't. And I felt like the covering of that made me guilty. But by me confessing it to my family, who I'm accountable to because I love them, which is my parents and my siblings, and confessing it to my ex-husband, set me free from the bondage of shame and disgrace. So I can encourage you today, listeners, listen to the Holy Spirit. He knows what you need to do to be delivered. And I thought when I was going to confess that, I'm going to be seen in a negative way by my family. God prepared them. Just like when God forgave me, just as if I've never sinned, when I told them, they respected me for the honesty and they looked at me just as if I've never sinned. When Holy Spirit leads you to make a confession, it's not for you to be disgraced, but it's for you to be whole. And He will restore any negative thing that the enemy might want you to think is going to be shameful. God knows how the enemy works with us. And if we just listen to His counsel, We will be free from the enemy's deception. So, the next one I have is, this is for you, Shanaz. For the woman who knows God, thankful to God for blessing her with a good life, but she lacks the faith to trust God completely with their lives. Because when a financial challenge hits her home, and she finds out that her children are doing acts like prostitution or drugs, it tears her apart. How will you encourage a mom dealing with financial threats and hearing that her children are doing things that are unlawful, ungodly, and it's tearing her apart? How will you encourage her to rise above this? Because if anything, at a time like this, she can't be falling apart. She needs to hold the family together in prayer and intercession.
Absolutely, Angelina. Prayer and intercession for such a woman, I want to encourage you, is the key that Abba Father gives you to unlock what you need to declare over your family, over your situation. And through using this key, you are able to declare the Word of God. Remember, the Word of God is alive and active. I've experienced many a times where through the Word of God, I've been able to pray over my situation. Speak to your mountain. The Word of God says if you speak to the mountain and cast it, it will yield to you because you have been given the authority of Christ Jesus. And so it is in seeking God for your family, for your financial situation, through the Word of God, He will reveal which word you need to declare over those particular moments. I am able to testify that His word is alive and active. God will not disgrace you, neither will He bring you into a place of shame. But you have to surrender unto Him. You have to seek the Word of God. Take what is relevant scripture and declare and decree over your children and over your finances. Abba Father will give you the right word at the right time. In season word, He will not humiliate you. He will not forsake you. He will not leave you. Pray and fasting as well. Fasting for strongholds over your children so that Abba Father can intervene. Abba Father can change their hearts and mold them and shape them. We as parents sometimes cannot speak to our children because they won't listen to us. But when we go into our prayer closets and we declare and we speak over their future, the Word of God over them. I remember Ephesians was a portion of scripture God gave to me, in particular for my nephew who was challenged with using drugs and doing the wrong things. He was also caught. Can you imagine the distraught I felt as an aunt? But my hope was in Abba Father, was in the Word of God, and God proved Himself. He came through for me. If He can do it for me, He can do it for you. His Word will not fail you. The Word of God still stands. It has the same authority. When Jesus was walking this earth, so too right now in this day and age, His Word will have the same authority for you. But your faith has to be stirred in Abba Father. Submit unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
Thank you, wonderful Shanaz. Yes, mothers out there, this is not your time to hide and cry. Get your backbone through prayer and rise up and pray for your family. The Bible says, if my people who will call by my name will seek me and pray, I will heal their land. And if our children can't seek and repent, our job is to stand in the gap and repent for them by interceding for them. So our beautiful Erica, for the mother who sees her children cohabiting without marriage, knowing it is fornication, and the Bible states fornicators will not enter the kingdom of God. While the world sees it as acceptable, the Bible says it's not acceptable. The mother, she's probably like Job. offering many prayers to God that her child will not go to hell. But the Bible also says that we must teach and correct our children using the word of God, that sex before marriage is a sin. What would you tell that mother and counsel her on how to address the matter, because she's emotionally traumatized that her children are going to go to hell because she knows Jesus is coming soon. And if her children don't change and carry on cohabiting, heaven's not their home. What would you encourage her to find peace in this time, and how to encourage her children to turn away from that lifestyle? What would you tell her?
Thank you, Angelina. Yes, I always believe that the very first thing that one should do is, and I would say to this mother, that the very first thing that she must do is go to the Father. And as she sits at his feet, she listens to the Father, because he's got the strategy, he's got the answer, he's got the ways how to come to the children, because we as parents can so many times maybe out of line, we're saying the right thing, but we're not saying it at the right time, and maybe also not with the right attitude. So I would always encourage the mothers to go to the Father and to ask him to meet with her, so that she can hear what he has to say to her. Her heart must be calmed, and she must be at peace, so that when the time comes for her to speak to her children, either her son or her daughter, that it will be with the authority that God has given her, and also with the love, so that the children can know that they are truly loved, but that God, his word has also got boundaries, and that we should keep his laws in our lives so that we can live a peaceful, quiet, and prosperous life. So I would truly encourage her to, because I know, because I've been through that, and I had to quieten my heart first of all. I can't go with an upset heart and speak with my children. To quieten her heart is to sit at the feet of the Father and allow Holy Spirit to minister to her, to bring her to that point where she is completely at rest, and that she can hear the voice of the Father, so that she can speak to her children and bring encouragement, bring direction, bring correction in a way that they will not be, that they will not feel as if they now are condemned, but that they will know in themselves, yes, I have overstepped the boundary, and I need the Lord to come and fix it for me, to come and help me to get out of this in a way that shame will not overtake them, guilt will not overtake them, and not any other thought of feeling unworthy. So the mother is the nurturer. The mother is the one that brings correction. And the mother is the one that brings the love to her children, so that they can truly experience the covering that they have. Even if they're not at home, I mean, but it's the covering of the Lord that they experience. Not that they are rejected, not that they are condemned, but that they need to redirect their path, their route, back towards the laws of God. Thank you, Angelina.
Thank you, Erica. And I think, Erica and Shanaz, many, many mothers or parents have this challenge where their children think they're old enough to go cohabit, and therefore they don't need to hear their parents. And we do have an accountability as parents to God for bringing up our children according to the ways of God. And in heaven, we will be judged for how we brought them up. And I love what you're saying, Erica. Speak the truth, but ask the Father how to do it. Because when God talks to us, he speaks the truth. But his truth corrects us and helps us turn away from sin. And therefore, we need to apply God's grace on how to speak to our kids so the correction can help them turn away from it. Like you're saying, not feel rejected or abandoned, but know that we're correcting in love because we love them. And unless we do it in the Father's love, they will get offended and not ever want to turn. But if we do it with the love of God, they will gracefully want to turn from it. Thank you. Last question, and this goes to Shanaz. For the woman who finds out her husband has been cheating on her through pornography and adulterous relationships, she's stuck in the relationship because she's financially dependent on her husband and feels that there's no way out. She's got no choice but to accept his lifestyle or else she doesn't have a home. She's broken. She's rejected. And she knows he's cheating. He's aware that she knows he's cheating and he's abusive. How do you encourage this woman to rise up under these circumstances?
Thank you, beautiful Angelina. I think such a woman will need to make sure that she rallies support around herself. If it's a physical abuse, that she should immediately leave her spouse so that she can find a place where she is able to heal both physically and mentally. And then also seek counsel from a church that is godly, led by the Spirit of the Lord, so that she can heal both spiritually, emotionally, intellectually. Go to family to get support, to rally support around her as well. But again, most importantly, make Abba Father her first source through everything, because there's nothing too difficult for the Lord. There's nothing impossible in God's presence. The Word of God tells us that He takes care of the birds of the air. So who are we that He will not consider us? He is mindful of us and He wants to take care of our every need. So we should also not reject, knowing that He is right there, our closest friend, the Holy Spirit, our comforter, that can remove those scars from our minds and our hearts that cause such deep, traumatic pain. Abba Father is able to heal and remove it even from our very subconscious as well. She has the right thing to speak to her husband, to tell him why she's leaving him. Because we are not doormats. Abba Father's not made us doormats. We have a voice. She has a voice, she's able to speak and use that voice in love, correcting her husband and not accepting the treatment that he's been displaying and the abuse that he's been giving to her as well. Through the help of the Holy Spirit, she's able to speak her mind in a loving way, but protecting herself, making sure she rallies support from her family and friends, speaking up, making sure she goes to counseling. Because sometimes as women, we don't want to take care of ourselves. We think we are not worthy, we don't make time for ourselves. But in such a situation, she has to rally support because it's so important while she's still recovering. Because sometimes women in such situations feel so destitute that they feel so hopeless, like there's no way out. But going to a family, they will love and embrace her. And most importantly, finding the right church, getting godly counsel so that she can come into a healthy state as Abba Father will heal her again. Thank you, beautiful Angelina.
Thank you so much, Shanaz. So, Gospel for Grampian listeners, every example that we've shared today are women out there and young girls out there that are actually being exposed to these challenges. And as you've heard from Shanaz and beautiful Erica today, that there is hope for you to get back up. I never heard either of these women ever say there's no hope. They have given you hope to say that you can be restored. You can be restored and be able to be that person that Jesus said, wash your robes and have the right to the tree of life so that you may go through the city gates. Blessed are those who wash their robes. We want to help you rise up and wash your robes so that you can get the right to the tree of life and go through the city gate. Because Shanaz said, we have all fallen short of the glory of God. That's why Jesus came and paid the price. There is no amount of pain or hurt or shame or disgrace or abuse that qualifies you to go to hell, because Jesus paid the price for the worst sinner and the worst disgrace. So I'm asking you, beautiful Erica, today, as we close into our session, pray for every single woman that is going through issues and thinking that there's no hope for them and that they cannot wash their robes white. Pray for them and give them encouragement. And for those that have backslided, do the sinner's prayer that they will come back home. Because our job today is to make sure that every listener who hears this can realize they can let go of that terrible robes that they're wearing and let the blood of Jesus wash them so that they can put on that beautiful righteous robe and stand tall and live again, awaiting for the return of Jesus.
Thank you, Angelina. Yes, I would like to prophesy and pray over the beautiful Gospel for Grampian listeners. And every daughter, every woman, every girl that is listening, I trust that this word and prayer will manifest in your life as you receive it in faith. This is what the Lord, our God, our Heavenly Father is saying to you today. In the name of Jesus, receive the grace for open doors. Every door that has been limiting you, I break that door open now in the name of Jesus. May the grace for visibility rest upon you now. Whatever has covered your glory, I lift it up by prophecy. Rise to a position of visibility in the name of Jesus. All blessings come from God through men to men. I prophesy over you. Every person ordained by God to respond to you and their attention has been taken away from you, I call them forth and declare that your destiny helpers gravitate towards you now in the name of Jesus. Favor is merited and multidimensional. I pray for you. May the grace called favor rest upon you now in the name of Jesus. Begin to gain unusual kindness, acceptance, and access to the hearts of kings and resources of men in the name of Jesus. And I would like you to pray after me, each and everyone that has maybe not received Christ as their Savior, the ones maybe that have lost their vision and have maybe backslidden. Pray this prayer with me now in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to you and I thank you that you have forgiven my sins. I know that I have sinned and I have fallen short of the glory of God. But I thank you that I can come and say, Lord Jesus, be my Savior. Forgive me from all my sins. And now I can declare that I am a child of the living God, the Most High God, and that I can call him my Daddy. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me. Amen. Thank you very much, Gospel for Grampian listeners. God bless you. God, allow his face to shine upon you, that you will see his glory manifest in your lives, and that you will know that he has never forsaken, he has never forgotten you, but he has called you back. And because you have said, yes, I am here, I want to come back home, you are now part of the heavenly choir, his children. Thank you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Angelina. Thank you, Shanaz.
Thank you, Gospel for Grampian listeners, for listening to us. I thank you, precious women and young girls, that you are rising up, You are getting back. You are running your race. Your robes have been washed white, and you are waiting for the return of Jesus. Live your life as Jesus is coming back soon. From us to you. Bye.